The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It is often thought about, if Americans think much about it at all, that most people at the highest levels of our government, senators, congressmen, presidents, vice presidents, are literate, intelligent, able to read and write and do all the things that you'd expect a, quote, leader, even though we know they aren't, to do. In point of fact, that has not always been the case, and there is a very surprising example, which I just learned about from Kelly Nelson today, and I asked, this is hard to believe. You remember President Gerry Ford took over after Nixon was forced out? Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. Yes. The same Rockefeller family, the son of John D. Rockefeller, one of them, there were four, apparently had a little defect, shall we say, in his M.O. This is a very interesting story. Kelly, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, sure. Nice to be with you.
Yep. Thank you.
You know, we all wonder what's happened to our children today. And I can tell you countless stories, as you can tell your audience the same thing, where you go to make change with somebody and this youngster doesn't know how to do it.
Oh, constantly. It's all I can do to not say anything or laugh out loud. These poor twits, male, female, and any of those others, I don't care. You give them $1.12, and they don't know what the hell to do. You try and make change for them. They don't know what to do.
And you know, nobody counts back anymore.
Nope.
They look at what the register says, and then they give you your change. And sometimes the register isn't right if you've added a few more pennies to make something even. So these are just lost. I've actually had young people say to the, I need my manager. I can't do this. And I'm like, you can't do this? It's so simple. But they can't. And it's because they have been deprogrammed. They have been made. You know, these kids come at 4 years old. They're so smart. They want to learn everything. Their parents say, oh, look how smart. And then they go into the government schools and immediately that desire to learn and get ahead and grasp and know more, it's destroyed. And this has been going on, which is astonishing to people, since 1880. Mm-hmm. Yep, 1880.
Wow.
And John Dewey, a horrible Marxist man, a socialist who totally wanted to destroy and change America. I started out this article, Over a Century of Corrupting American Education, with telling about my grandparents' eighth grade diplomas, which hang in our library on the wall. And here's what it says.
How nice. What a nice thing. Good for you.
I know. It's wonderful. They're beautiful. And here's it's so interesting what they say. This is a quote right from the diplomas. Having passed a credible examination in orthography, that's the spelling system of a language, i.e.
Uh-huh.
English in this
Nobody
case.
Knows what that is anymore. No.
No, nobody knows what that is. Reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, English grammar, physiology, United States history and music, and having sustained a correct deportment is granted the certificate of proficiency, unquote. Now, I'll tell you, I have teachers all over the country who call me and say, I can't even stand being in these classrooms because these children, they want to attack me. They are totally out of order. You cannot discipline them. You can't even quiet the class to teach them. This is America today.
You know Devi. Devi Kidd is...
Yeah, I love her.
She's substitute teaching, and we've spent more than a few minutes on the program talking about exactly that. It's dangerous.
It's horrible. It is dangerous. There's actually a video on YouTube about a teacher sitting there crying and telling her county commission that she is retiring from teaching because of the horrors of what has happened, and she loves her career. She loves what she was trained to do, but it's impossible to teach these children today because of all of these restrictions and all of the laws and because of the parents who are now second and third generation of being dumbed down and thinking that what their children are doing is just wonderful and you should never discipline them for anything. It's just ridiculous what's going on. And they've eliminated phonics. I mean, phonics went out. God, Dick and Jane came in.
Yeah. Phonics went a long time ago. What was one of the first casualties of communist takeover? And that, what that was, you already know this, but it was the cancellation of all music history courses at the high school level. They took the arts away from children. They took that wonderful music that went right to the soul for hundreds of years. Took it all away. Gone.
Do you know what... I went to high school with Hillary. You already know that. She was a year behind me. We had over 6,000 children in Maine East Township High School. And every one of the choir groups, there were choirs, there was glee club, there were all these different music classes. All of us joined together. And do you know what we sang my senior year in high school? And we had opera singers there who did the big parts, and we had a professional orchestra. We sang Handel's Messiah.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's an experience that you'll never forget, and our children now have no idea.
No idea whatsoever.
They don't even know what classical music is. They don't know.
No, and I'll tell you, if you would just visit even one music class that you could find in America today, you would be shocked. I have a friend in Maine who's a friend of Charlotte Isserby's who teaches music, and he is just appalled at what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really terrible. We are disintegrating, and most of these children are being taught nothing but propaganda and they're brainwashed. And I'll tell you a good book that your audience ought to get, and it's by Sam Blumenfeld and Alex Newman, and it's entitled Crimes of the Educators, How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. I really miss Sam, because Sam was at a conference that Charlotte put on in Maine back in 2012, and I was a speaker there, but I had talked to Sam many times, put him on many radio programs, and really
he was
loved
here.
His work.
He was a beautiful mind to hear, to have him express himself. He was so wonderfully articulate. Yeah.
I know. He was magnificent. And, you know, he came to Christ as a Jewish man. He came to Christ because of his research into what had happened to education in America.
Uh-huh.
That's what brought him to Christ. That's an amazing thing, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And his speech in 2012, which I sat next to Rosa Corey, and she and I sat and looked at each other, and we were just astonished at what Sam was telling, because his speech was making Americans illiterate, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he started out, well, he told a whole bunch of things, the destruction of our country and our education system. And he commented that in the 1920s, when he was in school, he had an excellent education in reading, writing, and arithmetic in New York City. But he said it's because the progressive education push had started, but it hadn't reached them yet because they had no money to fund the progressive education because of the Depression.
I wish we could stamp that word out, progressive, and put in the proper word, communist.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I've used that, and I keep thinking I need to go back and explain to people what communism is, because today's youth have no clue. They actually think it's socialism and communism is a good thing.
Yeah, and 67-68% of millennials would vote for a, quote, socialist.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're ignorant. That's how communism has always usurped and overturned and destroyed cultures.
That's
because
right.
The people don't understand it.
No, and, you know, a lot of people don't want to know about what's going on in our education. They find it boring. They think they're going to school, they're learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. No, they're not. They are not learning the 3 R's anymore. It's because they can't. Their brains have never been logic because they've never been taught phonics in first and second grade. These children are so dumbed down, it's pathetic.
Why do you think
dyslexia is so common?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of that's vaccines, but...
oh, yes. You've got that right. And boy, could I tell you some stuff about vaccines, but you probably already know all of that.
No. Our listeners are always all ears. So you want to share a little bit? Go right ahead.
Well, you remember the book by Ed Haslam, Mary's Monkey?
Monkey, yep.
Oh, yes. And that sugar cube that we all had in the 60s in high school for the polio vaccine.
Yeah,
That's
it.
And now the SD40?
SD40.
Monkey virus?
Simian virus 40. That's it.
Yeah.
SD40.
Yes.
Killed 40 million Americans, I think, mostly from brain and kidney cancer. That's the best I
heard. It's soft tissue cancers. Soft tissue cancers that this affected because the virus was grown on monkey kidneys, and the monkey kidneys had cancer abilities that were in the vaccine. And even though it was found out early on, the government kept all of these contaminated vaccines and kept feeding them to Americans.
Oh, yeah. I had my
purposeful.
Dose. I had two sugar cubes and I think 3 shots and I somehow survived.
Geez.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, this is population reduction purposely done by our government, and I did a 13-part series on American citizens as guinea pigs, and I went through all the things that the government has done to us, and when I hit on this monkey virus, I got phone calls coming out my ears, especially from military men who had been given shots that they never knew what they were given.
Never will know either, many of them.
And never will know. And it's not in their records, and nobody will tell them. Isn't that lovely?
No. Total guinea pigs. Yeah, they kill people all the time with that crap.
Oh, yes. Well, this is part of the whole Agenda 21 population reduction. I mean, look, at 58,000 boys died in Vietnam, most of whom were conservatives, because at that time most of our young people were conservatives. Two of my high school chums, my high school beaux, died in Vietnam. Both of them brilliant young men, had excellent educations, and that was a purposeful thing. I believe it, and I've told many people today, if you have young boys, tell them never to go in the military.
No, I'd never go in the military. These are crimes against nature, that was a holocaust of our American youth.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Well, getting back on education, 27 years ago in 93, how many years ago of that? Americans were stunned to learn that 90 million Americans, 90 million in 93, have such poor literacy skills that they can scarcely cope with the demands of high-tech economy or high-tech camp. Imagine what the literacy lack is today. After 11 years of Common Core state standards, which was implemented in 48 states in 2009. Can you imagine that?
It doesn't take
astonishing.
Long.
Astonishing.
10 years of that crap into the next upcoming generation will permanently and irrevocably remove it as a real factor of change for the better here. They're not going to go anywhere. They're going to stare at their screens and be somehow amused. There's some diversion there. They're not. When you take that phone away from them, they go into severe withdrawals almost immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, Vladimir Lenin said, give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world.
That's all it takes. He's right. Mm-hmm. 20 years. That's it.
Yeah. One generation of youth. I mean, this is incredible. And Sam Blumenfeld, he put the blame squarely on the shoulders of the educational leaders who decided in the last century to change the purpose of education from our traditional academic function and teaching to the radical social one that was brought in the 1800s by John Dewey.
And, hard to believe, and it was 1800s. Now, we've spent a lot of time with Charlotte and her brilliant book and talked about how this began. This began back then. And people just refused to believe it. How could they possibly know? How could they plan back then? Oh, they knew. Time was on their side. Go ahead.
Well, you know, so many things have changed since I graduated 55 years ago. I mean, 56 almost now. It's absolutely incredible. And I have a college education, but I certainly didn't go to Wellesley like Hillary did. I couldn't have afforded that even if I had wanted to, which I didn't. But you know, there's so many statistics here that are shocking that Americans don't know. 64% of all 8th grade students are unable to read proficiently. And that's
64,
according...
Two-thirds of them. Two-thirds of 8th grade students. Functionally
that's
illiterate.
That's according to a corrupt organization called the National Assessment of Education Process. That's their latest report. Now, 82% of black students and 77% of Hispanic students are not reading proficiently. So more
82%
than
82% of blacks?
Yeah, and 77% of Hispanics.
Neither of those groups are ever going to go anywhere. They're stuck.
No.
That's it.
No. 44 million Americans cannot read or write above a third grade level. 50% of adults cannot read a book at an eighth grade level. And
you know
I
what that means? They can't even read Dr. Seuss.
No. These statistics are low. I know they are.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of college grads have low literacy, according to Sam Blumenfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe him.
Yes.
Yeah. But then I explain in this article, too, that NAEP, the National Assessment of Education Progress, is actually funded by the Educational Testing Service of Princeton, New Jersey, and that was funded with an initial endowment of $750,000 from, guess who, the Carnegie Corporation in 1946. So there are far-reaching negative implications of the relationship between the Educational Testing Service and Carnegie. So don't go believing that everything that NAEP, the national education people, say, because they are not our friends. And I would assume that it is far worse, that NAEP actually tracks conformity to government-generated goals, i.e. government propaganda and the brainwashing of our youngsters today. And it, you know, it's a whole lack of...
Kelly?
Go ahead.
I always use that term, brainwashing. But they're doing more than that. There's some brain destruction, intellectual destruction going along with that.
Oh, yes.
It's not just leave the IQ of 110 fine and just reshape it. No, they're taking that IQ down. They're destroying part of the intellectual potential of our young people.
Deliberately dumbing down, exactly.
Thank you. Hold on. Kelly Nelson and I will be right back in just a couple minutes. Things to think about, especially if you have young children. Good grief. Back in a minute. Talking to Kelly Nelson, whose works can be seen at newswithviews.com. Wonderful, wonderful archive of extraordinary writing there. So do stop by. Kelly, spelled K-E-L-L-E-I-G-H, Nelson, you can spell that. I hope they can anyway. I know this audience can, but that's not taking a lot for granted in case of you considering the overall reality of some of the things we've been talking about. These kids are just... It's worse than being illiterate. They have been dumbed down permanently in the IQ department. I know this. It's true. You won't find it written much, but I know it's true. You can't do that to the brain. It's like a muscle. It atrophies, and it never recovers.
These children have actually been destroyed. That's what happened. They've been destroyed. And it was John Dewey's program. He lived from 1859 to 1952, and he began this movement that transformed our entire educational landscape in America. And he shared the theory behind this movement in an essay he wrote in 1898 entitled "The Primary Education Fetish." In it, he stated, and this is a quote, "The plead for the predominance of learning to read in early school life because of the great importance attaching to literature seems to me a perversion, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So teaching a child to read was a perversion. Now, in 1958, a gentleman from the Reading Reform Foundation actually contacted Sam Blumenfeld and asked him to help them get phonics back in school. In 58, phonics was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was totally shocked because he had had a good education in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was told, read Rudolph Flesch's 55 book, 1955, Why Johnny Can't Read. Once he read that, Flesch, author of this book, explained what was happening in the schools and that only with phonics can children learn how to properly read, okay? And once phonics was eliminated, other methods took its place. And Sam, in his research, this, and again I say, this is how this Jewish man came to Christ, because he saw the evil that was being perpetrated on God's children. Okay? Sam found the origin of the look-say reading method, mm-hmm. and that it was taken from this Reverend Thomas Gallaudet, who in the 1830s had a school for the deaf and dumb, and he devised a technique in order to teach his students to read because they couldn't hear the sounds. The sounds, you know, you make so many sounds, there's so many letters, 26 letters in the alphabet, mm-hmm. and all of this is learned with phonics, but Gallaudet persuaded Boston schools to use his primer, and of course in Boston it ended up as a total disaster, and they went back, they returned to phonics, until
right.
America's Lenin, John Dewey, showed up around the turn of the last century and started using it again to dumb down America's children. And that's what happened in America, and it was that early. Now, he had a whole new vision for America's schools, and he wanted to use them to reconstruct society into a socialist society. He didn't want to educate children to think for themselves. Listen to this quote. This is incredible. Children who know how to think for themselves spoil the harmony of the collective society, which is coming where everyone is interdependent. Ugh. Same old commie crap, isn't it?
Same old stuff. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
never changes.
Well, Sam and Alex, in their book, Crimes of Educators, they discuss this quote, and they say, in other words, deception would have to be used in order for this long-range, complex plan to be successfully implemented, and these perverts who pushed this socialist destruction of education, they lied and lied and lied.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Sam and Alex also said, Dewey stated that the only way to undermine the capitalist system was to get rid of the emphasis primary schools placed on the development of high literacy and, this is really important, independent intelligence. According to Dewey, this is a quote, it is one of the great mistakes of education to make reading and writing constitute the bulk of the schoolwork the first 2 years. Well, I remember my first 2 years. I remember what was above the blackboards. And I remember learning cursive, which they've taken out of many of American schools today.
Oh, gone. Block letters now and keyboard. That's what they're teaching.
Yeah, and these children can't sign a document because they can no longer write their their name in cursive writing.
They're going to be back to X's pretty soon. Watch.
Yeah, no kidding. Dewey's direction was based on using government schools and minimizing the role of the parents. And why? because the parents might teach them such things as religion, right? And mm-hmm. and de-emphasizing Latin, the classics, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I remember back in the 70s, it was 79 or 80, my daughter was in high school. I think she was a sophomore. And her school was going to remove Latin. And I got a bunch of parents together, and I went down there and I said, don't you dare. You at least have 2 years of Latin for all of these children, because it is the fundamental origin of all of our Romantic languages. If they have Latin, they can learn so many languages so easily. You know, well, they kept it for maybe 5-10 years, but then they eliminated it. It's gone from America's schools. It's no
longer
there.
It's gone from our culture.
Yes. It is gone from our... look at how many years it's been since Catholic Mass. I'm not a Catholic, but the Catholic Mass is no longer in Latin. Mm-hmm. And you know what? A lot of kids way back when, they understood the Latin Mass because they were taught mm-hmm. Latin in school. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go into this whole thing with the Rockefellers, because it's very interesting. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, John D. Rockefeller Sr., he had a bunch of girls and one son, John Jr., okay? And John Jr. was raised by his mother and his grandmother, because John Sr. was out building his business and making a fortune. So that one son, John Jr., was dressed in female clothing until age 8. And I thought, when I read this, I thought, oh, that's bizarre. But then I found out that really wasn't that uncommon back then. They did that. If they had a house full of girls, they dressed the boy in girls' clothes, and vice versa.
Yeah, if you wait long enough, everything comes back in style, right?
Yeah. I know. So, well, when Junior grew up, he had 6 children. He had Abby in 03, John III in 06, Nelson, the vice president, in 08.
Vice president, yeah.
Yes, Lawrence in 1910, Winthrop in 1912, and David in 1915, who only died a few years ago at 100 and some. And Junior, this is Rockefeller Junior, fell in love with the Dewey Progressive Education System, and he funded it to the tune of $3 million to one of the experiment schools called the Lincoln School. And he decided that this was such a wonderful thing that he ought to give his sons a good progressive education. And so he put Nelson, Lawrence, Winthrop, and David in the school, which turned them all into dyslexics. And right there, that's proof, like Sam says, that progressive reading programs can actually cause dyslexia.
Communist reading programs. Yes.
Yes, communist. Thank you. And they were all, every one of these boys, including their sisters, were functional illiterates. There wasn't a single one of them that could properly read. And under Jerry Ford, he appointed Nelson Rockefeller as vice president. Mm-hmm. And Nelson Rockefeller was, of course, only a heartbeat away from the presidency should anything happen to Jerry Ford. And every time Nelson, if you think back about this, if you were old enough to remember this, I was. I watched this man speak because I knew what the Rockefellers were way back when I was a youngster. And every time Nelson was to give a speech, he would bring his papers to the podium and he'd set them down, and then he would make some kind of excuse to the audience, and he would say, you know, I was going to give this wonderful speech that I had prepared, but instead I'm just going to speak from the heart. Well,
oh,
you know
funny.
Why?
I didn't
because
know that.
Because he couldn't read it.
That's he really would, funny.
He, yeah. He could not read the speech, but he brought papers, and maybe they were written speeches, but I highly doubt they had anything on them. So he had to hire somebody to read to him, okay? And guess who he hired? None other than Henry Kissinger.
What a mentor.
Yep. Now, you've got his brother, David, who was the last of the sons to be born, who just recently died, and he was the head of the Bilderbergers. And he wrote in his memoirs that his father was an ardent and generous supporter of Dewey's educational methods and school reform efforts. And it was the Teachers College of Columbia University that was operated Dewey's Lincoln School, this experimental school which taught all of this hogwash, you know, this communist hogwash.
Yeah.
And it was designed by the General Education Board as an experimental school. Our General Education Board actually allowed this. That's how fooled they were with what was going on, or how much they were aligned to doing the same thing. But
yeah,
despite the freedom for children to learn and play an active role in their own education, which is what he was pushing Dewey, there were many drawbacks, and his reading ability and proficiency in spelling, this is what David said, only improved slightly as he aged. He was dyslexic. And he told that all his siblings, except Babs and John, had dyslexia to a degree. And it was purely the progressive look-say reading program that caused this. Now, the Bush family is the same way. Barbara Bush and several of her sons were dyslexic. Why? And she claimed they were born with this disability. Hogwash. Every single one of them, including Barbara. Oh, what'd she die at? 92, about 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
She was taught in this progressive socialist Dewey teaching method, and she put her sons through the same thing. And here, how many presidents now have we had that are pure stupid and can't read? I mean, they're not stupid, they're just
you mean
illiterate.
Like the village idiot?
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Yeah. And these snowflakes, can you imagine these college snowflakes who have to go to safe places and are so offended if somebody disagrees with them and anything? Can you imagine them being on the shores, getting out of those boats, and most of them going to their deaths, just racing up that hill toward the Germans? Can you imagine that? And the Japs? No. I can't imagine these kids doing that. They just cry. They just sit in the boat and cry.
Oh, they want their teddy.
Yeah.
My teddy. Oh, my teddy.
Yeah.
My blankie.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing, too. They have eliminated American history to where, who was it I was just listening to the other day? I can't remember. It might have been Limbaugh, who I turn on when I'm in the car.
Yeah.
He said
once
that,
in a while, he still says something creatively amusing, and
yes,
I don't know where he gets it. But
I watched Mark Dice. You ever watch Mark Dice?
I've seen his videos.
Yeah, and he'll go out with a petition, and he'll say something that's just totally stupid, and you can't.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We
used to call those man on the street interviews, person on the street interviews. Just general questions, general knowledge questions.
Yeah, and the former guy that was the nighttime entertainer, I can't think of his name. He's got gray hair, and he has a lot of cars, and I really liked
Jay
him.
Leno.
Jay Leno.
He didn't die.
No, he didn't. didn't die, but he used to do these on the street interviews too.
Yes.
And he would go out and ask questions. And he even asked questions at a campus where it was all students in a seminary. And he would mm-hmm. ask them about Old Testament icons. They couldn't answer the questions. They were that stupid. What are they learning in there? You know?
I don't even want to go there. I'm sure it's not family fair. There's a lot of weirdness going on in those places.
Well, let me tell you something that emphasizes exactly what is happening. And this was, maybe 5 years ago. I had rotator cuff surgery and I was in physical therapy. And my physical therapist, who's very much like you and I, all of them in this place I went to, they know mm-hmm. what you and I know, okay? They're mm-hmm. bright, brilliant people.
Wow.
And they read. They read everything, okay? And this one fellow, he had a student there. And she was learning to be a physical therapist. And he said, my physical therapist said, I'm trying to teach her some of the things she needs to know, not just about physical therapy, but about what's going on in America today. And I said, mm-hmm. okay, let me ask you a few questions. And I started and I said, who did we fight in Vietnam? She couldn't tell me. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, who did we fight in the Korean War? Couldn't tell me. I said, okay, who did we fight in World War II? Had no idea. How about World War I? No idea. I said, okay, let me give you an easy one. Who did we fight in the Revolutionary War that we celebrate on July 4th? She could not answer that.
Mm-mm.
And she was 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has been done.
It's and there's no remediation for any of this. It's done. It's a done deal. They're going to bring children into the world. What kind of an inspiration or leader are they going to be for their kids? Nothing. It's done. They're going to give them smartphones when they're 5 years old or less, and they're going to turn them over to that screen, and they're gone. That's how you lose your kids. Gone. They waddle. They don't run.
They waddle.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are, Jeff, but every day.
39.
And I'm 39 too, again for the 40th time. But I'll tell you what, every single day we had gym class and we had swimming, we had volleyball, we had tennis, we had golf, we had everything that you could think of that was exercise. And we were outside, we were inside in the winter. There wasn't a chub in the whole school of over 6,000 students. Okay?
That's amazing. We used to have one or two that I remember in the student body, chubs. They weren't horribly obese. They were just big, kind of fatty, big. But now, you just look at the skin tone on these kids, these young kids. There's no muscle underneath it. They're being cheated out of life. They're being cheated. Their lives have been ruined. And they'll never understand what they lost, what they never had.
Well, they're not playing in the alley. And, you know, I lived in Chicago in apartment buildings. My dad died from a car accident, so it was my mother and I. And I played in the alley with my girlfriends. We played ball in the alley all the time. Mm-hmm. Or we were riding our bicycles. We'd go for a popsicle at the corner drugstore and split it, you know, a nickel for a popsicle, and you split half it. It was different. We were always outside. And in the summer, I spent with my grandparents on the farm in northern Indiana. and you left the house after breakfast in the morning, and you didn't come back home until dinner at night because you were out playing with your buddies, or you were helping Grandpa in the barn, or feeding the pigs, or collecting the eggs, or something. You were always busy, and you never sat on your butt in front of a screen or had that damn little thing in your hands using your thumbs. I bet all of these kids are going to have thumb surgery when they get older.
That's funny. They may. We used to have carpal tunnel. Now they'll have thumb carpal tunnel or something.
Yeah.
It may happen.
It ruins your thumbs. It really does.
Boy,
you get arthritis in them, and then they have to replace it.
New industry. You orthopedic surgeons out there, get ready. Come up with a name for it. Thumb or something. Smartphone thumb. It's going to be a big business. Could be.
Well, that and the brain cancer from putting that cell phone to your head all the time, and wait until 5G comes. Bye-bye.
Wait till 6G comes. They won't even bother to get these kids out of the cradle. They'll stay there.
Yeah.
Just give them a phone. It's so sad. The young people now, millennials and beyond that, younger, cannot understand what we're even talking about.
They don't
have any way to relate to what we're trying to tell them. They don't believe it. There's no reference point in their memory for it. So therefore, it doesn't exist. It never existed. It can't exist. The only way that they're going to see it is by watching old movies or old television from the 50s. Then they might get a clue. Otherwise, they'll never be able to understand it. And another thing, to me, everyone was talking about being chipped. We're going to get chipped. They'll be able to listen to us, monitor us. So the chips will be sending and receiving. They'll watch us. They'll track us. We're already chipped. We're just holding the chips in our hands.
Your TVs and your cell phones are recording everything you're doing.
The smartphone is the chip. That's the chip.
Yeah, and you know, we have cell phones. We have them because we travel, and we need them for traveling. However, we do not use them like everybody else does. We still have a landline. And
we're
out of time.
Yeah, I've got a landline too. That's it.
Good for you, Jeff. Well, hang in there, kid, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll talk
again
soon.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for being here, and you have the same. Wonderful to you. Hear you always.
Thanks,
Kelly.
Okay. Bye-bye, hon.
Good night. All right. A lot of things going on, and many different levels and dimensions. It's a multidimensional problem, a metamorphosis. It's a regime change of the most allegedly intelligent species on the planet. It's all being subverted and re-engineered right in front of our eyes. Hold on, we'll be right back in a few.